I never minded your constant pout. You sleep all day and all night you're out. You didn't observe no one inside. Cross the line.
Time now for the third and final hour of the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Little Tab Benoit bringing us back his tune, Cross the Line, as we have seen a lot of line crossing in recent weeks. The violence has gotten too much for anybody to tolerate in this state. The threats of violence as well. What we saw last Saturday at the Patriot Muster, after the Patriot Muster, with the killing of Lee Keltner. What we've seen up in Weld County with this Democratic operative threatening violence himself. I mean, it is just extraordinary and deeply troubling and sad to see so much line crossing right now. And we need to get a handle on it, and we need accountability when it comes to our leadership in and throughout Colorado, at the state level on down. And we have seen Governor Polis take on so much centralized authority when it comes to the pandemic and more. We need to rein that in, and that means we need to make inroads in the state House of Representatives. And that does include, folks, making inroads in the city and county of Denver, which is why I am so pleased tonight as we continue with our Conversations with the Candidates series to talk with the Republican nominee for House District 5 in Denver, Jonathan Woodley, who joins me here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Jonathan, welcome to the show. It's good to have you.
Hey, thank you very much, Jimmy. It's good to be back on with you.
Good to talk with you as always, my friend. All right, so you were at the Patriot Muster last Saturday, and I want to start there. And as we continue our interview, we'll get to learn more about you and why you're running. But we were just talking in the last segment with Matthew Durkin, Republican candidate for the first judicial district attorney post, Jefferson and Gilpin counties, about the importance of public safety. And I think what we saw last Saturday at and outside of Civic Center Park really underscores that central need, including a perspective that is needed that's focused on public safety in the state legislature.
Jimmy, I just want to applaud you first for calling it the Patriot Muster. Many news outlets right now are covering it as a right-wing protest. It wasn't a right-wing protest. It was a Patriot Muster supporting the men and women of law enforcement. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. And I interviewed on Monday John Tigtegan, of course, lead organizer of the muster, and also my friend Basil Baz, who was there. And I understand what was going on and what the intent was. So just let's start here, since we're talking about this. Give us sort of your perspective on what happened.
Well, we'll start from the beginning when I showed up. Believe it or not, I had about a 30-second confrontation with the main agitator, Jeremiah Elliott, upon arriving and getting to the gates. But once I was inside, it was a great atmosphere. Nothing but patriots, American loving, law enforcement loving, just good people. The mood was solid. The mood was upbeat, and we were having a good time. Now, there was 50 yards away, behind a different kind of barricade, was the BLM and Antifa movement organized by the Denver Communist Group. And
a soup
drive.
When
I tell people that, a soup drive. But I don't remember seeing very much or many cans of soup.
Really?
What I did see,
that surprised,
were a bunch of agitators, foul mouth, just the language that was coming from these individuals. It spoke nothing of peace. It spoke nothing of unity. It spoke nothing of harmony. It spoke only about anger, violence, destruction, and death to our neighbors. And it was just it was a sad scene. But I mean, Saturday is not the only time that this has happened. This is happening on a daily basis here downtown, and I understand why individuals don't want to come here because they feel it's unsafe, because these groups continuously intimidate or try and bully. And it works for some, but understand there's patriots, and we were there that stand up against this kind of this agitation, if you want to call it that.
Well, and it gets much more than agitation when it actually turns into violence and death, or even just threats of violence if you look at that guy in Weld County.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw that, and a big shout out to Project Veritas for even releasing that.
James,
and if the, you know, listeners have not seen that, I suggest that you do, because this is the attitude of the Democratic and the far leftist party. One revolution group that he is a part of, by the way, the individual we're talking about that was spewing that sort of hate and kill people with the guillotine and things of that sort. Governor Polis is a member of their social media group. And I don't know if many of the listeners know that, but it's shocking. And he still allows this kind of talk, this rhetoric and these threats to get out there. So this is real. This is real. It's not just, you know, I just want to tell the listeners, this is not just Denver. It's just not a city of Denver thing. It's not just a Boulder thing. This is a message that is spreading throughout Colorado, and it's going to take us, it's going to take what we call the silent majority to stand up against it.
Well, you know,
to not give any grounds.
I understand the phrase silent majority, Jonathan Woodley, but I think we're finally getting to a point where the majority is speaking up and not staying silent.
I would like to think so, but we're less than 20 days to the election, and this can't just be an 11th hour thing.
No, for sure.
You know, we just can't talk until election day and then once again be complacent for another 3.5 years until another election. So I think that's a big problem that we've had in the past.
Sure.
Is complacency.
So one thing that we were talking about off air is the idea that right now what we're seeing, tying in with the public safety questions and all the mayhem, is a lack of accountability and action. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by a lack of accountability and action, we can go back a few months to even the first night that we had what you would call a riot, what many people would call a riot, which was definitely not peaceful one bit. There was a lack of action from the mayor. As soon as that sort of aggression, as soon as that sort of destruction, vandalism, and that overtaking our streets downtown happened, I believe that the National Guard should have been called in. The mayor, Mayor Hancock, should have called over to Polis, and Polis should have sent in the National Guard. And I'm not just talking about a few members. I'm talking about in force. Now, it's not to be confrontational with individuals, but it's just to show the force, deter people, and show that, you know, we're not playing around here. We will protect our property. We will protect our streets. We will protect our citizens.
Right.
That did not happen. And it wasn't until a few months after that there was another incident that Mayor Hancock decided that he was going to say, this is what happened last night was actually a riot. The time in between the first time it happened and the time that he considered it a riot, it was too much time. I mean, one day is too much. One life lost is too much. One property destroyed is too much. So we're seeing right now local elected officials, even the bureaucrats that aren't elected, and state officials that are elected, are just standing idly by, and they're not doing anything about it. They're not even speaking out about it. We look at what happened to Lee Keltner. There was no remorse, no apologetic tone to the tragedy of his death. So that's what we're seeing.
Right.
We're just seeing the elected officials idly standing by.
True.
And hoping that this just passes over.
Well,
just passes over.
And let me say that we saw this in July too. at the 6th annual Pro Police Rally Colorado when Antifa thugs swarmed and completely disrupted the event. And not only were police restrained by orders from on high that were clearly political orders, but they were told, you need to retreat, you need to leave. And one intrepid lieutenant said, no, if we leave, they're going to get killed. We can't do that. Refused to abide by that order. Otherwise, even more mayhem would have broken out, and that fits in with your theme of a lack of action. Again, we're talking with Jonathan Woodley, Republican candidate for HD5 in Denver. Let me ask you a question going sort of more to the core of your campaign, Jonathan. Who are you and why are you running for House District 5?
Well, I'm a fed-up citizen that's been here. I've lived downtown for 20 years. 20 years here in Denver, and I have not seen it as bad as it has ever been in the last few years. Now, in 2018 and 2019, I made a run for city council. I ran against Albus Brooks and Candy Cedabaca. Now, we see how that resulted in, as Cedabaca is the councilwoman now. In fact, she's, I would consider her someone that incites and encourages what's going on, because these are her followers. An individual named Tay Anderson. These are his followers. They follow what these individuals are saying. And so I'm fed up with it. I want safe streets. I want clean streets. I want to be able to raise a family here. And I just don't feel like I can at all. And many people feel the same way. I mean, it's so hard to even start a family in Denver right now.
What's your professional background?
Well, my professional background, I'm a sergeant in the Colorado National Guard. I have business management background. During these campaigns, I actually went back to school, received my master's degree at DU in community engagement, and just finished another graduate program in organizational development.
Excellent.
So I've been building up, and getting more into the political scene here. But the number one thing I'm doing, Jimmy, is just holding a line and fighting against these far leftists and these far left policies. And I just want to inspire everybody else to be brave, to be courageous, that you can stand up to them too.
Yeah. So speaking of standing up, Governor Polis has assumed unilateral authority for months, and he keeps extending that authority, for example, with the mask mandate every 30 days. He adds another 30 days, so on and so forth. And in the last legislative session, when they came back, because remember, they met briefly, then they stopped because of COVID, then they came back, and the legislature had the opportunity to rein in the governor, and they didn't even try to. I mean, some Republicans did, but because Republicans are such a small minority, particularly in the state house, it didn't go anywhere. What do you make of that and the need to at least restrain the governor's unilateral authority somewhat, especially when it comes to matters of the economy and reopening?
Well, the unfortunate part is, you're right, we don't have that many individuals, any Republicans there to fight back. We don't have the numbers. And naturally, the House and the Senate, who are controlled by the Democrats, are just going to do whatever Polis says. Unfortunately, I mean, what can we do? I mean, there's recall efforts and everything, but nothing has been successful at this point. We see what happened in Michigan, where many of Governor Whitmer's policies were struck down in their Supreme Court. So I see a lot of lawsuits coming in the near future. But unfortunately, in the next couple of days, in the next week, or even prior to the elections, we're not going to see anything happen. Now, we can rise up as a people and we can battle back. We can have businesses say, no, we're not going to abide by your rules. But you have to have strength in numbers to do those kind of things. And unfortunately, we don't have that right now. And there's a big fear of this whole culture, this cancel culture going on right now. So we would have to organize, Jimmy. We would have to organize, and we would have to be smart about what we do moving on further. I want to reopen Colorado. Many Coloradans want to reopen Colorado. We want to feed our families. We want to put our kids back in school. We want to live a normal life. But Governor Polis is making that so much more difficult for us. And, you know, each person has their own tipping point, but everybody does have a tipping point.
Once again, we're talking with Jonathan Woodley, Republican candidate for House District 5 in Denver. One of the things that I have said from the beginning of the riots is that this kind of excessive violence in the streets and the destruction of property and just all the chaos and mayhem that we've seen ensue over the past several months is not just about racial tensions, nor is it just about, by the way, radical left Antifa types that decide they want to sow discord. I think a lot of this also has to do, especially with the numbers of people who've participated in it, with the economic strife that they have been forced to endure because their lives have been set aside by politicians and they have been suffering in this kind of economic environment. It builds up tensions, builds up the stress, and then all you need is some sort of a match to light the fire, figuratively speaking, and then you can see a descent in this kind of chaos. Do you see a connection between that, at least on some level, that helps to amplify some of what we've seen?
Well, I would say you're not wrong at all. And I think that's just a portion of it.
Yes, of course.
My view and my perspective, because I'm at these rallies, I'm at these protests, whether it's on the Patriot side or if I'm going undercover on the other side, I see what's happening right now being anarcho-communism. And that's basically what it is. I talk about that term quite a bit. We're way past socialism right now. It's anarcho-communism. And what's happening is they're using these groups of their message, these smaller groups of, you know, the social justice, the racial justice. But it's far more than just racial and social justice. We're talking about an ideology that wants to literally destroy capitalism, destroy the nuclear family, destroy everything that America was founded on. And just because it's, they want to destroy it because of their own narrative, the way they were either raised to see the world or things that they were taught in school. You can talk about indoctrination all you want, but I see a very different, I see a more of a destructive force at hand right now. And, you know, with everything going on, it allowed this opportunity to show its face.
They're
not hiding anymore.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Let me shift gears to another topic that ties in with the pandemic, and that is education. I know that the way in which Denver Public Schools is handling a public education in terms of in-school learning is, I think, woefully inadequate, to put it mildly. What do you think about reopening schools and where things are at when it comes to public education?
Well, 100% open up the schools. We need in-person learning. These children of all ages, need that kind of social balance with each other. Okay. When you talk about in-home learning, yeah, there's going to be a disparity with learning. I mean, you talk about just the little things, like some don't have Wi-Fi connection or it's really poor or some just aren't able to learn that way. You know, I know growing up, I was more of a hands-on learner. Some people
Yes.
are just like to be to just read the chalkboard or textbook and they learn that way. Look, Denver Public Schools, the schools in Denver are some of the only schools that are still locked down from having students in their classrooms. Now, all over Colorado, they're opening up the schools, but in Denver, it's a problem. Now, DPS isn't known for having the best schools, best public schools in the state, and they haven't at all. So I think this is, again, another failure on DPS. The kids need to be in school. They need to be learning. But then we also have those teachers that are saying, and this is just a generalization, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of DPS public school teachers are far left ideologies as well. And many of them are even getting arrested at these protests. So we have a big problem on our hands on the education level. Just Denver in general, on almost every facet, whether it's economy, education, crime, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We're in trouble.
Well,
and the only way that we can make a change is if these voters finally figure out that we need to do a bold change and change the way we have been voting for the last couple of decades. That's the only way things are going to change here.
Sure. So when it comes to education, that's a whole other topic of conversation. We could go down that rabbit hole if we had more time. We've only got a couple minutes left with you, Jonathan Woodley. But I would certainly say that there is a problem of the trajectory of politics in the school system. That's for sure. In the last couple minutes, there are just two other questions I really want to get to. One is broader and more about your campaign. The other is about Denver right now. You're running as a Republican candidate in House District 5. You're also running a very vigorously, strongly conservative campaign, which I certainly appreciate. But one may ask, how in the world can Republicans make gains in Denver? What is the situation like for you as a candidate running in Denver in terms of likelihood of success? What's your vantage point, real briefly there?
Well, briefly, it's just being a conservative in downtown is difficult. Owning a business in downtown and being a conservative is difficult. Running a campaign for public office as a conservative is difficult. But look, I am trying to make gains. While I would absolutely love to win because I know I can do a wonderful job here and turn things around, I'm just trying to push, at the very minimum, push that needle. And awareness, outreach, those are the things that I'm trying to build. And it's we're not going to hit home runs every single time here, Jimmy, but if we can just get those base hits, it's going to be incremental. And I'm looking forward to that one day that we get Colorado back. So that's my optimism, and that's what I'm trying to do.
That's the right mentality. It's the mentality I know Denver County Chair Christina Cook has, which is the idea that let's get as many Republican candidates running and getting your messages out as possible, because a rising tide lifts all boats can help, for example, President Trump and Senator Gardner in their reelection bids, but also make inroads longer term in these House districts so that we can make gains. So I think that's very well put. And then finally, Jonathan Woodley, what's a final word for our audience, and where can people go to learn more about you and your campaign?
And thank you again, Jimmy, for having me on the show. For everyone listening, I would just like you to go to my Facebook page. It's called Woodley for Denver. You'll see all the videos that I put up. They're very informative. I run a different kind of campaign where it's more, I want to expose these individuals and give people an opportunity to see what's actually really happening and not so much the things that they just see on the news and the headlines there. I'm literally in the action. So please follow me, support me, and I'm going to keep fighting, but I need everyone to fight back as well. Mm-hmm. We have less than 20 days. We've got 2 weeks here. So vote. Don't forget to vote. Just vote. Support your local candidates. And pray for me, because I'm praying for you.
Absolutely. Woodley for Denver. Wood with an L-E-Y at the end. That's how you spell it. Woodley for Denver. Check him out on Facebook. Jonathan Woodley, best of luck to you, and thanks so much for joining us here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Richard Champion joins us from House District 38. Keep it right here. Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. coming back with one of the great rock songs of all time, but you know the best aspect of Eric Clapton's Derek and the Dominoes tune, Layla? It's that the great late Dwayne Allman was on that slide guitar. And let's just be honest for a moment. Eric Clapton is a phenomenal guitar player, but Dwayne Allman was better than him. I'm just putting that out there. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Best bumper music known to man. More than 7 years running here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS. Final segment. So great to be with you as we continue our Conversations with the Candidates series. I've been working to get our last guest, Jonathan Woodley, on. Glad to finally be able to bring him on. Now we've got Richard Champion, who is the Republican nominee for HD 38. In fact, he briefly served in this last legislative session in the legislature for HD 38, and he joins me now. Richard, welcome to the show. It's good to have you, sir.
Thank you, Jimmy. It sure is nice to be with you.
It's great to have you.
I'm not so sure about Greg Allman. I thought Eric Clapton was pretty good.
So Dwayne Allman is who I'm talking about here, not Greg.
Oh,
so because Dwayne was the guitar player, of course, he died in a motorcycle crash in 1971. And that was not too long after this came out, by the way. And absolutely, Clapton is phenomenal. Like, I love Eric Clapton, especially his blues work. That's where his guitar really shines. I'm just saying that Dwayne Allman is a little bit better.
Well, I understand that.
Since we're on the subject of music, what do you like, Richard Champion? What do you listen to?
Actually, I listen to classical music. I have a long time ago, I was in a symphony orchestra and played the timpani. I was a percussionist and wasn't very good at it, but sure liked to do the show stuff.
You did it. Well, I'm excited later at 9 p.m. tonight at McCarthy's at Chambers and Smoky Hill. I will be playing harmonica again. My 8th appearance with the Becker Band. Folks, strongly encouraged to come out if you're night owls, 9 p.m. to 11 later tonight, and I'm looking forward to that. So I'm still playing music.
Oh, music's the best.
It truly
it
is.
Keeps us sane, doesn't it?
Yes, especially in these topsy-turvy times that we are in right now. I mean, when we're talking about all the things happening at the state and national levels, you need those kinds of respites. And by the way, we also need the right people to serve in the state legislature, which is why I'm so glad to have you on tonight, Richard Champion. Let's talk about you, your background, and the territory that covers HD 38, as well as why you're running. So a lot there. What have you got to say for yourself?
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Let me start off by saying where HD 38 is. House District 38 is Littleton, Western Centennial, the western part of the town of Centennial, Columbine Valley, and Bomar. It encompasses about 80,000 constituents. And why in the world am I running? Well, golly, I've been in Arapahoe County for 53 years. I graduated from Arapahoe High School in 1969, which makes me an old guy. We got here in 67, went to school up at Fort Collins. And had a lot of fun up there in Fort Collins. You can have a blast up there. And I had so much fun, they kicked me out. And so the Army got a hold of me. And so I ended up having to join the service. My draft number was 41. And we had a small little police action in Southeast Asia at the time. And so I went on ahead and joined at 19 years old. And signed up for 6 years. So
thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It didn't seem like much of an honor then, but it sure does now. I was very fortunate to not have to serve in Vietnam at the time. But why am I running for re-election? We're out of balance, Jimmy. We're completely out of balance down at the State House. We've got a super majority that doesn't listen to anybody but themselves. They're kind of in their own sounding board. And our form of democracy in America works so much better when both sides get a chance to influence legislation. Right now, we've got a Democratic governor, we've got a Democratic Senate, we've got a Democratic House, and you know, they'll look at us, pat us on the head, and say, "Well, that was really interesting." They'll go on ahead and do anything that they want to do. So, I was retired in January when I found out that Susan Beckman, whose spot I took for HD 38. I went on ahead and took over for her, went through the vacancy committee and was fortunate enough to be elected by the vacancy committee and spent 41 days down at the in that seat at the legislature. And boy, did I learn a whole bunch.
Oh, I believe it. By the way, this is a little known story because I haven't talked about it, but in 2015, 2016, I actually ran for the House District 37 vacancy that ended up in the hands of Cole Wiss. There were seven of us who ran. I didn't get far in that election, and it was the one and only time I will have ever run for office, but I do know a little bit about what vacancy elections are like, vacancy committee elections are like. It's certainly an interesting experience, to be sure, but now you're wider. You're running throughout HD 38 to hold that seat. And I think your point about having more balance in the legislature is absolutely critical because we have seen what's happened in terms of Democrats having maximal control over the state legislature and the statewide offices for Colorado, particularly the governor. And they're not very pretty consequences, including in the area of COVID-19, where we have seen Governor Jared Polis view himself very much as King Jared, and consistently he takes on unilateral authorities, Richard Champion, and moves forward every 30 days, it seems, with a new mask order and other restrictions unilaterally without the state legislature weighing in. What's your take on that and on the broader COVID-19 issue, sir?
Well, the broader COVID-19 issue is COVID-19 is real. And if you have a comorbidity, you are in you're in jeopardy. You need to take very good care of yourself. But one of the things that I have found going through HD 38 and talking to so many constituents is they want to be released from the shutdown that we have in Colorado. The things that we don't understand why our governor has shut us down. We don't understand the metrics. And Jimmy, what in my short tenure down at the State House, I was allowed one bill to carry, and that bill was HCR 1002, and I call it the governor on the governor. And what has happened is our governor has unilaterally decided what the metrics are he's using to shut us down, and has used those metrics, unbeknownst to us, but he's used those since what, March? He's shut us down since March, and we don't know what those metrics are. Secondarily, and even more importantly, we do not know what metrics he's going to be using to open us back up. That is one of the biggest problems that I've got with our governor at this moment is that
right.
We do not know what we're going to use to open us back up. And if you're a businessman and you're trying to prepare for the opening back up of Colorado, how in the world can you possibly plan for that without knowing what the metrics are that are going to be used by our governor?
Yeah, we know a little bit, but we don't know a lot more than we know. That's for sure, State Representative Richard Champion. But one thing in my mind is that, yeah, we're seeing some opening up. I mean, the fact that I'm able to perform music at a bar like McCarthy's in Aurora tonight underscores that there is opening, but there are a lot of restrictions being placed on all sorts of businesses that are strangling them and their ability to get back. And they don't understand, to your point, they don't understand what is it that is guiding the governor in terms of metrics, in terms of the data, what are the specific points. But he doesn't have to present them because there's no, as you put it, governor on the governor.
Correct. And that's what HCR 1002 would do, is if the governor and any governor of the state of Colorado corporation, you have to have an executive making those decisions. And I think that's absolutely appropriate. So the executive, which would be the governor, would shut down Colorado for a certain period of time, 30 days, 60 days, maybe even up to 90 days. But if that governor then decides to continue the shutdown, I think, and this is what the bill, the legislation would have done, the governor would then need to call for a special session of the legislature and get legislative cover for the decision that he or she wants to make, and describe what are the metrics being used to shut us down, and then what are the hurdles, what are the metric hurdles that we must achieve to open us back up. And then that way business could then figure out what's going to happen in the future so they can plan.
Again, we're talking with Richard Champion. He is in the state legislature representing House District 38, was able to serve through most of the 2020 legislative session, wants a full term in the state house. On the subject of jobs and the economy, since we're talking about metrics, obviously we need to have more guidance so that businesses can know what are the expectations, what are the targets, those kinds of things. But what else do you think needs to be done in order to help rev up this economy and get the economic gears rolling again, particularly with regards to job creation, but also the broader economic issues?
Well, I think that what we have is, again, we don't know how to plan for what's coming up. I think that we now have in the United States, I just got this information, the number of people living in poverty in the U.S. has increased by 11 million folks since May. And that's an awful lot of folks out of work. And the way that I believe, because I'm a free market fella, that as soon as we know what to do and we can plan forward, then we can open our economy back up. That's absolutely one of the top, that's the top priority that we should be following.
And I think, of course, don't raise taxes, don't raise fees. In fact, we should cut them. This is why, and allow voters the opportunity to start voting on fees. This is why I'm a big advocate of Propositions 116 and 117. We need to have those kind of checks on government, especially in a tough time like right now where businesses and individuals are trying to get back from the brink.
Exactly. You know, one of the other things that has been really interesting in my opportunities to talk with all of our constituents door to door is how they're so concerned with safety and security. We haven't figured out why we're shut down, number one, but we sure haven't figured out why our leaders haven't led as they're supposed to. We have people that are scared to death to go downtown Denver. You know, living here for 53 years, Denver was an absolutely beautiful, beautiful town to go walk in at night, and you felt safe and you felt secure. We don't have that right now, Jimmy. It's very scary as to how many people are just, they want to stay in their house. And that's a serious problem for the state of Colorado and definitely Denver. One of the things that we've seen.
Sure. Well, on that topic, and we've been talking about it with our previous two guests as well, because it is such a hot button issue and folks on this station are especially attuned to that. Richard Champion, state representative for House District 38, running for a full term in the state house in, again, HD 38. We've been talking about this because it is so important. What do you think needs to be done in that regard, especially at the legislative level?
Well, at the legislative level, what we need to do is hold our governor accountable to all of this. Can you imagine? We spent over $1 million cleaning up our Capitol. That's your Capitol and my Capitol and everybody else's. That's our house. And we spent $1 million. Can you imagine what we could do? We could give that money to the teachers. Goodness gracious, why in the world should we allow that to happen? Our leaders are not leading. Now, what can happen down at the legislature? Well, we have to put some governors on the governor. We have to make the governor responsible. And I've heard that there are petitions out there to recall Governor Polis. Now, I don't know anything about that, but it sure seems like there's a lot of people that are very upset about it.
Well, sure, and I think the safety issue is one of those things. I mean, whether we're talking about Mayor Michael Hancock in Denver, specifically for Denver, but there are other areas in the Denver metro area that are very much struggling right now in terms of the violence, in terms of mayhem, crime, all of those kinds of things. But then you also the governor. I mean, it is abundantly clear that Governor Polis in so many of these different areas is either taking it upon himself to make key decisions or he's asleep at the wheel. Sometimes it's hard to tell which is which. But I want to go back to the COVID-19 issue with you because we've only got a handful of minutes left with you, State Representative Richard Champion. But when we look at schools and reopening schools, I mean, that's something so many parents are clamoring for is the expansion of school reopening. There is data out there that shows that schools are not super spreader locations, particularly the K-12 schools. What's your take on that?
Oh, I think that we absolutely have to open up our schools. It's ridiculous. I've got a grandson that's going to middle school, and he goes 2 days a week. And how in the world can you learn 2 days a week? Some of these kids do well learning off of a computer, but most of them don't. And we need to open it back up. We have completely scared our entire population by this COVID issue, and they are not the ones at risk. It's those the folks that have the diabetes or lung problems or heart problems. They have the comorbidities. Those are the ones that need to protect themselves. But we've got to open up our schools absolutely right now so the kids can get together. One of the things that I have heard, Jimmy, and maybe you can even help me on this, is that the reporting of child abuse is down significantly. And part of the reason that I understand is why it's down significantly is that the teachers were the ones that were reporting the child abuse. But if the kids aren't going to school, then the teachers can't report that. And so what we're doing is this is a travesty. We're not protecting our kids. And that's one of the ways that we can protect our kids is actually get them back into school.
Yeah, that is exactly right. There is ample amount of information, both anecdotally and statistical out there that shows that what we're seeing is a significant decrease in the reporting of child abuse because kids are not in the classroom where teachers often notice those things. And instead they are at home. And if they are in abusive at home situations and they are stuck at home much more often, that certainly is going to, well, I would say you could surmise that it is going to amplify the abusive situations because the parents and the kids are together more during the year than they otherwise would be. And to be honest, that could be a scary thought.
Absolutely. And conversely, don't we have a much greater epidemic of opioid issues now because everybody is locked up here in the state of Colorado? Opioid issues, that the opioid epidemic has grown significantly.
Oh, yes.
During this time.
We were just talking with Matthew Durkin, Republican candidate for the 1st Judicial District Attorney, that's Jefferson and Gilpin Counties, earlier in the show, and he was highlighting that exact point, and it's something we absolutely need to address. But unfortunately, Richard Champion, Republican candidate running for a full term now in House District 38, we are out of time here, so I want to give you a final minute to sum up for our listeners, a final thought, and also to let folks know where people can go to learn more about you and your campaign.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. There are vast differences in my life experience versus my opponent. And what I need for my constituents to understand is that I'm a business guy. I've built three businesses. I'm a former mayor, a former police commissioner, a former building commissioner. And I believe in the free market economy. I think that we need leadership, and leaders need to lead. Also, Colorado needs a champion, and I'd sure like to be that champion.
And your website?
Website is championforcolorado.com. Hope you get a chance to come by and take a look at that.
All right, Richard Champion, Republican candidate for HD 38. Let's give this man a full term. Thanks so much for joining us today here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Once again, Richard Champion, HD 38, joining us here on 710 KNUS. That is it for us tonight, but never fear, we will indeed be back next Saturday night, same time, same place, with more engaging, intelligent talk, Sang style. And tonight, especially if you're in the Aurora area, come on down to McCarthy's at Chambers and Smoky Hill. If you need a night out, if you've been cooped up for too long, come on down, see yours truly, Jimmy Sangenberger, play some harmonica with the Becker Band. It's going to be a lot of fun. Have a great evening, great rest of weekend, and as always, may God bless America.